today's show. Alabama gets a new coach. Washington gets a new coach. Guardrails, Jimmy Sexton, transfer portal, Ohio State loading up. It's all going down. Plus, the Reese's people are in trouble with the law, maybe.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
If I did have an expectation that it would look like it does on the package, I would not buy it because someone already took a nibble. I want the whole pumpkin.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Which might hurt Florida State's stance in, say, a lawsuit that we can't compete with the SEC. We can't do it. Oh, you just kept your coach from going to Alabama. Maybe you can compete.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Ross Dellinger is skiing. See you in here.
About that. He's off like,
Park City.
Yeah, Park City, having cognac probably at lunch or whatever. You know, get a little warm-up drink middle of the day.
Do you have? I don't think you still have to join those clubs and stuff to get drinking.
No, out there. No. They've joined the 20th century. Yeah, it was at least nice. If not the 21st.
I still have membership in a few spots in Salt Lake City, I can tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Lifetime membership. Do what you had to do back in the day. Yep. That's why it's like the fastest growing city in the country. Something yep. pretty close. Pretty sweet out there. Anyway, Ross isn't here, so you're going to get a far more dignified and intelligent breakdown of things.
That's right.
But no one will say Dion well.
No, we'll have none
issue.
Of that.
Story of the thing, we did not discuss this since Alabama Crimson Tide found themselves a coach, but they did. Kalen DeBoer, the head man at Washington, fresh off the national championship game, is headed to Tuscaloosa. We are all big fans of Kalen DeBoer. Did an unbelievable job at Washington in 2 years. Had some Big Ten experiences. He did 1 year as an OC. He went 25-3 at Washington. Pretty good.
Not bad.
12-6 at Fresno. That includes a COVID year. 67-3 at Sioux Falls, where he won 3 NAIA championships. Rocket launch shot. You think back in 2020, if you were like, hey, the next Alabama coach, which a lot of people play that parlor game, Kalen DeBoer, Fresno State 3-3 in his first year, was not on the list, but he got there. Pat, your thoughts on Coach DeBoer leaving Seattle, heading to Tuscaloosa, and succeeding the legend of Nick Saban?
Yeah, quite a chain reaction we have going on right now in January. 3 top 25 coaching changes, maybe 4. We'll see what Jim Harbaugh does. But the biggest one that came open, obviously, was Alabama with Nick Saban leaving and now Kalen DeBoer stepping in. And the thing to me it said is that Kalen DeBoer is an incredibly confident person. He comes across pretty understated, kind of aw-shucks, South Dakota guy, you know. But he obviously has incredible self-confidence to say, yeah, I can do that. I can take over for Nick Saban. Everybody would probably like to coach Alabama. Not everybody would like to coach Alabama after Nick Saban. And he's going to take that on. He's going to uproot and go to a place, a part of the country he's never worked. To the best of my knowledge, he's played one game in his life in the state of Alabama as offensive coordinator at Fresno in 2017. They lost 41-10 to the Tide. He's going to probably take a fair amount of staff with him, including Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator, Jamarcus Shepard, wide receiver coach. So they're going to get some guys, obviously, with experience recruiting the South. But it's a big, big step. I think it's a good hire. I would do it if I were Greg Byrne. And I think if you are hiring a guy whose track record is excellent. It's not, you know, a 10-year-long track record of power conference excellence, but so what? He's got 49 years old. He's career has ascended remarkably, as you alluded to, Dan, and he's a great offensive coach. He seems to be a very good team builder, a good identifier of talent. I've had people say, you can't recruit. Well, wait a minute. First of all, why are we deciding that? There's a bunch of guys that were on the bench at Washington who we didn't get to see play who are pretty well regarded that he brought in, including then there was the quarterback, Michael Penix. He did recruit him, too. Give him some credit for that. So I can't say it's going to work. You can't say he's going to be the next Saban. Nobody's probably going to be the next Saban, but I think it was a good hire in a really kind of acute point of trying to find somebody who's willing to step into these shoes.
Yeah, you know, he's got the guts. I kind of laugh at the he can't recruit. We'll see. It's a dogfight getting SEC players, and the recruiting challenges and roster building will be a deal. But yeah, he made the national championship game with a really talented team. I remember when Brad Stevens was Butler's basketball coach before he went on to the Celtics and all that. And I think it was either the first or the second national championship game he took Butler to. And somebody asked him, is this going to help you get better recruits? And he said, we're in the championship game 2 years in a row. I mean, yeah, it'd be great, but like, we got good recruits. We got good players.
Yeah,
this isn't just mystifying. And they did. They had NBA players.
Absolutely.
So sometimes you're finding the players. You could say the same thing about Michigan, right? It's just going to get them better recruits because they don't really get great recruits, but they got a great team, won the national title. They went 15-0. But I do think it's fair. It's a fair point. I think this is as good as Alabama could do. And I don't say that with this is a great hire. This is the guy right now. There's a lot of promise. He's 49, there's a ton of energy. I think he knows how to handle the modern era a little bit, the transfers, guys stuck around to play for him, all of those things. We're walking into a different era. Saban is going to close the door on the old era.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Nick Saban, if 17 year ago Nick Saban took the job right now, I don't think it's, I mean, first of all, I don't know how it was possible to win 6 national titles the last go around, but I don't think it's possible going forward.
No.
I just think it's a different game. It's too hard to just recruit a million good players and then just hold that talent.
Yeah.
So
I would interject that you don't have to win 6 national titles to have a successful tenure. Gene Stallings won one, and they got a statue of him outside the stadium.
Yeah, he can. I mean, I think reasonable Alabama fans know that this isn't going to maintain. All Alabama fans are like, we won't be as good. As good is a shifting standard. That's going to be the issue here.
Yeah.
They're not used to losing at all. And, you see those videos on how many times they're like canned up or whatever, but you know, they lose to Michigan in overtime and there's some guy throwing his TV out the you know, window and stuff like that. They get, you know, the standard that Saban set is very, very difficult, but someone's got to take the job. And I don't think you can do a whole lot better at this point than getting the hottest coach in the country with a lot of positive attributes. Now, can he recruit? You still got to be able to recruit. You still got to be able to get players. And they had an enormous amount of talent. And there is part of the job in appeasing the fans is signing top 2 recruiting classes every year and having huge draft nights and all of those things, right? That is part of like Alabama being Alabama, and Saban was the master at getting those guys. Kalen DeBoer does not have the experience recruiting the South. Does that matter? I don't know. Probably doesn't hurt. I mean, doesn't help. Saban knew everybody, and you know, Saban's the guy who knew to, you know, he'd be with the workout guy in Montgomery and things like that. There's also the bit of what is Alabama. And is it, it's a very good job. Is it the number one job in the country, or they just have the number one coach of all time at the job and elevated it? Alabama as a state produces a nice number of elite talent, high-end talent, but Auburn is there also, and they're going to get their share. And it's certainly not the same amount as Louisiana and Florida and Texas and things like that. Saban was able to go get players on other people's turf, particularly Louisiana and Florida, Tennessee, things like that. And then eventually, because he was Nick Saban, went national. And he's pulling QBs out of Southern California and things like that. Can Kalen DeBoer maintain something close to that, where you are an absolute regional power, at least in recruiting? Or are you more like, you know, what makes Alabama so special? It's not that it's not a great place to go play football, but so is it Baton Rouge and Knoxville and Athens and Austin and Gainesville. You know, what sets Tuscaloosa apart and above? Well, it was Nick Saban. So it has a lot of advantages, but it does not have the straight up advantages of, like, we're USC and there's not another power team anywhere near us or something like that. Or we're Texas and there's so many players in the state and we're the flagship university. So you got to be able to make Alabama the destination. And I think that's going to be the challenge, because there's just so many other schools that are so desirable to also play at.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. There's organic advantages and there's man-made advantages, and Saban was the man-made advantage. And there are a lot of places that have more organic advantages than Alabama does. So, yeah, that, I mean, the days of winning 11 or 12 or 13 or 14 games a year might be somewhat in the rear view, but can they still compete for national championships here? Yeah, I think so with DeBoer. And we'll see when the, you know, give us a couple of recruiting classes and a couple spins through the portal. We'll see where it stands. But I think he's got a chance. And I do think he did. I think Greg Byrne did well bringing in DeBoer. The question I have in this unbelievable Jimmy Sexton power play: was DeBoer the first choice, or the second, or the third, or the fourth? There were four Jimmy Sexton clients in the mix here, replacing a Jimmy Sexton client. And it was DeBoer, obviously the most recent Sexton client. It was Steve Sarkisian. It was Dan Lanning. And it was Mike Norvell. And Lanning pulled out quickly to stay at Oregon and get a raise. And then Sark pulled out at Texas and got a raise. And then Norvell pulled out at FSU and got a raise. And I will say that if
they all get raises, Lanning got a raise too, huh?
I'm pretty sure Lanning got a raise. I'll double check that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but yeah.
Okay, the other two definitely got raises.
No, this is some ski mask stuff going on, yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Guardrails.
Yes, guardrails. And I would imagine, whether it's true or not, there's certainly the spin in Tallahassee is going to be, hey, man, I chose to at Florida State over Alabama, which might hurt Florida State's stance in, say, a lawsuit that we can't compete with the SEC. Oh. We can't do it. Oh, you just kept your coach from going to Alabama. Maybe you can compete in that poverty-stricken tax bracket that you're in there. I don't know.
So, yeah, what part is this, a cartel or whatever? I don't know, an illegal construct, a monopoly that Jimmy Sexton has? And I say that with all tip of the cap, man. Yeah. But let's be clear what's going on. Jimmy Sexton is the agent of all the top guys, and he's playing these schools for raises for guys that may have been considered or may not. We don't know that Greg Byrne wanted those guys or not.
We don't.
Maybe he went, I'm not saying this happened, but one thing you could do is you go to, I'm not going to put it on Alabama, but you go to the school and say, look, who do you want? We want Kalen DeBoer. Well, look, you can get him. You can get him for this amount of money, but first we're going to float these three because my clients need raises.
Yep.
And then you get the guy you want. That's how it's going to work here. Or it's going to cost you this much, right? And let's consider guardrails. What makes these people so irate? There's a street agent. This is an office agent.
Yeah.
It's a street agent telling us that this school bid this and this school bid this and this school bid this. And we don't know what's real. We need a database. We need to see the offers because we don't know who's telling the truth here. These recruits, I don't know. Oregon wants them. He's saying Oregon for $12 million, and he's saying $10 million over here at Florida State. And I don't even know what's true. We got to get Congress involved. This is absolutely the wild, wild west. And this stuff's happening. The semester already started. It's January. Guys are just leaving, coming, going, lying. We need Congress. Talk to Jimmy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing that you guys whine about. Charlie Baker, pay attention. It's the same thing. Good for Jimmy Sexton. Good for Norvell. Good. They held up all these schools, got their money. Hey, American way, baby. It's the American way. You get someone to pay you another dollar, you go get it. Get someone to pay you two, you get that. No problems at all. Don't be whining. Oh, my God. These agents, I don't even know who this guy is. He's saying he's going to go here. Oh, my God. It's the wild, wild west. How am I going to survive? It's January 15th. You just switched jobs.
Yeah.
You just blew up a whole program. Guardrails.
There we go.
Where's Tumberville?
I knew we'd get a good Wetzel rant out of this one. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got like three more on this. I mean, everybody's switching in the middle of January.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Yep. Like, this is it. We need a count. We need a limit. We need a portal. Portal can only go at this time and that. I mean, what are these guys supposed to do?
That
Will Rogers moves from Mississippi State to Washington. First day of school, his coach leaves. Now he's back in the portal.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So, the elevated dynamic of this is it's not just you lose your coach. You lose your quarterback. You lose your wide receiver. You lose this and you lose that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. So that, like, everybody in Washington is, gone from the high of making the championship game to devastated in 5 days because, yes, Will Rogers now in the portal. A bunch of guys have gone to the NFL. Ryan Grubb's leaving too, et cetera, et cetera. Arizona, they're bracing for it. Jed Fish is going to Washington, but is he taking Noah Fafita, the quarterback? Is he taking Tetroya McMillan, the receiver?
Wild
That's
West.
How it is. Well, that's, Wild you know West. What?
That, crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
In the back in the day, you couldn't do this because the players were stuck, and now they're not stuck,
and now they're upset,
and everybody's upset. There's ruin in college sports, really. Yeah, the coaches.
College sports means teamwork and commitment.
Yeah, the coaches have none of that.
None. Good. Who would? If someone's offering you a better opportunity with more money, and your contract allows you to get out, go do it. Every time, go for it. But stop your crying. Stop your Congress. Stop your ridiculous proposals. All of this happening while the NCAA convention's going on. Yeah. Pat, were there any panels discussing how Jimmy Sexton was running a pseudo cartel to hold them all up? Were there any panels? You were there.
Yeah,
who moderated that panel, Pat?
I don't recall that panel being on the agenda.
Okay, how about when the athletic directors get represented by the search firm?
Yeah, sure.
Jimmy Sexton have ADs? He must, right?
Oh, sure. I'm sure he does.
I don't want to make it all about Jimmy Sexton, but you have an agent or you have a search firm who employs or has a client that is the athletic director, sometimes even the university president, and the coach.
Yeah.
Guardrails.
It's a hell of a system. And suddenly the players got a little piece of it. Now the system's gone to hell.
This guy's an inside. I got to talk to his agent. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. His agent wants more money or he's going to leave. I can't believe this. He says, Oregon's offering $200,000 to go over there, and I'm only at $100,000. This is crazy. I got to talk to an agent. Who would design such a system of capitalism? What kind of free market is this?
That's right.
Jimmy, you got to get me involved in that Bama bonanza.
That's right.
I mean, come on, people. How many panels were there about this? How many panel discussions? Let's moderate
no
a panel.
No panels about that. None that I can recall. Plenty of panels about NIL.
Oh, scourge.
There were panels about that, for sure. One other conspiracy theory that I saw pop up, I can't imagine it's true, but it was a fun one to at least consider. This probably sprang up deep from, you know, like noltalk.com or whatever, that behind the scenes, Sexton and others knew that Saban was going to retire, and maybe they got word to a select few people on the selection committee, hey, this is Nick Saban's last go-round.
Ooh,
you want to get him in the playoff? Maybe we should get him in the playoff. Florida State's out. Alabama's in. I doubt that would have. I don't believe that's probably the way it happened.
Saban would kill somebody if that leaked out. He'd coach five more years out of spite.
He would. He'd be, yes, he would not want to be accepting charity.
FSU, man, they see some shadows, man. They see some ghosts.
A lot of them.
They see some shadows. Say this about Nick Saban. I want to add this. Nick Saban, retirement. Bravo, man. I always respected Coach Saban. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban. But he just up and retired.
Yeah.
Did a couple media interviews. I assume he talked to some of the local media too, not just ESPN. I don't know. I hope. Hope he did some local media. No fanfare. I don't need a parade. I don't need this big old thing. Drag it out. Just kept showing up at work. Helping people out. Then he went down to his place in Florida and he's out of there. I'm gone. Good. Absolutely subdued way of retiring. I love it.
Yeah. And he showed up for DeBoer's press conference, but it was like it was DeBoer's press conference. It wasn't a Nick Saban goodbye.
Yeah, he showed up
celebration.
To, you know, the visual of like the peaceful transfer of power, right? Or one
there
king.
You go. Yes.
One
yes.
king hands over the throne. Although, don't you have to die if you're the king? Maybe that doesn't
matter. Yeah. But, you probably know, I mean, he could like abdicate, I suppose, but.
Abdicate
still.
The throne. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. I love how Nick Saban retired. Very Nick Saban like.
Minimum of fanfare, truly. Yeah, yeah. For a guy who hates fanfare.
Yeah, it was not. Yeah, no rocking chair gifts. You didn't have to make the Auburn people pretend they like them or anything like that. So all that. All right. So DeBoer, Alabama, we like. How about Washington?
And this, again, it's funny, like the trickle down of Alabama raids Washington, Washington raids Arizona. And I think Washington goes from devastation to, hey, we got a hot coach, really hot. They won their last seven games. They won, was it 9 or 10 on the year? And by the way, Dan Lanning got a one-year extension in November after getting a new contract in July. So I don't think he did get anything fresh off of this, but it's not like he's hasn't been compensated recently. So
July to November? Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's a long time to go without a raise. Yeah,
it's gone like 6 weeks without a raise. I mean, what has happened? Come on, Jimmy Sexton.
Jimmy's so busy negotiating other contracts, he hadn't got around to landing yet.
Give a half point back on your fee or something. Didn't get him a new extension on that. Yeah, I thought Lanning just he knew better.
Yeah.
Lanning just wanted to be at Oregon. He wants to be at Oregon. Like, he's made that abundantly clear.
I give him credit. That's two straight job searches he's pulled out immediately, basically. Yeah. Texas A&M and this one. Like, nope, not in it. And he did do a pretty sweet video basically saying he was staying.
Oh, my God, yeah. I love these. The hype video to say I'm not a candidate.
Yeah.
It's getting pretty good. unfinished business or something. Like, all you have a hype video about not being a, leaving you.
Right.
It really is. And you don't leave, people get so excited. Oh, oh coach yeah. really loves us.
He loves us, yeah, until he doesn't
leave.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that is, you know, and that's the thing where like the feeling of betrayal from both the Washington fans and now the Arizona fans. What a snake. It's like, well, yeah, he's gonna take that job. Now, my question, all right. I think Jed Fish is a very good hire. Again, they won 7 straight. They did win 10. They won 10 games at Arizona.
Yep, 10-3. Finished 11th with the AP poll.
Yeah, exciting team. Freshman quarterback comes in, supposed to be a backup, and lights it up. You know, great offense, improved defense, the whole deal. He's recruited incredibly well. So, you know, I mean, I think it's a very good hire. Keeps a guy who's used to recruiting the West Coast out on the West Coast. I think it has a great chance to work out well. And so Washington fans go from devastated to now hopeful again. And it's Arizona fans to turn to be devastated. I've had seen some people theorizing, Dan, that like this is now fait accompli, that the Big Ten and the SEC will just take whatever they want from everyone else, because Washington obviously is going to the Big Ten. I'm not so sure Jed Fish wouldn't have done this within the Pac-12. Maybe Washington wouldn't have been equipped to offer him $7.75 million a year, but it was clearly a better job, and the budget problems at Arizona are significant enough that I think you're probably looking at that and saying, if I want every bell and whistle and try to keep Arizona moving up and maybe even take a shot at, you know, making a playoff, competing for a national championship, I'm much better off at Washington trying to do that. So I'm not sure this is necessarily a product of Washington going to the Big Ten. I just think that Washington's a better job.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is too. And I think he probably would have made that move anyway. You know, Arizona's a job. If you once you get it going, unless you're really committed there, you kind of got to bounce. Does not have that tradition of sustained success. Obviously, he took over a really tough program, 1-11 his first year, 10-3 in his third. Got a lot of West Coast experience, some NFL experience. One of my favorite bits of Jed Fish trivia, if such a thing exists out there, if there's a category of that, was when he got hired to be the Patriots quarterback coach.
Mm.
And, I mean, you would think, right, Bill Belichick call, okay, I'm going to hire you, you're the quarterback coach of the New England Patriots 2020. You go, this is unbelievable. I'm going to get to coach. I'm the position coach of Tom Brady, right? I am Tom Brady's position coach. I'm going to learn more from this than I am going to teach this guy. Like, this is invaluable. Like, yeah. 6 weeks later, Tom Brady leaves. It's like, damn. That would have been so good. That was going to be really cool. That's going to be Tom Brady's position coach. No, you're not. Tom Brady's like, what? No, he's done a very good job of building up that program. But I agree. I think you take Washington. It's not unusual for you know, in intra-conference moves. I mean, look, some of these schools are going to have more money, but as you saw, Florida State, you know, they're some matching pretty much. There's also just going to be a path to success. But I do think there's a bit of like, there's two leagues that are the big time, and there's two that are trying to claim they're the big time. And, you know, the bigger thing is that, like, I don't think Jed Fish leaves Arizona to go coach Minnesota.
No.
I don't think he goes to coach Indiana. I don't think he, you know, goes to the Rutgers or something. He stays at Arizona. But those would be more lateral moves. But if you're one of those top pro, I mean, all the top programs are in these two leagues practically.
Yeah.
So the destination jobs have been siphoned out by Fox and ESPN and put in two leagues pretty much, exception of a couple.
Yep.
And so it's kind of going to play out. But I think this was a good hire. There's going to be a lot of work to do at Washington. It is chaotic, as I would say. Again, academic calendar, all this stuff, I have no idea. This is, again, wild, wild west. I won't keep belaboring the point, but
Quaint concept, the academic calendar.
I mean, I felt bad. Like, Will Rogers, I mean, like, and this is going to be worse. So, you know, Will Rogers transferred to Washington. He thinks he's in good shape. Boom, now. Now he's got to, does he have to find a new school? Does he go back? I don't know. I don't know where Will Rogers goes. Michigan needs a QB now, probably. I mean, it's January 15th as we tape this. Next year will be worse.
Oh, yeah.
We'd still 5 days away from the national title game next year because they can't get their calendar in order.
Yeah.
They need to move the season back into August. They need to, if they're going to keep the conference championship games, they got to tell Army and Navy they're not special.
Right.
I know. They're not going to do it. Not going to do either of those two things, but somebody's got to. They need to tell the bowl game, sorry. Sorry. You don't get to all host a bowl game on New Year's weekend.
Right.
They aren't willing to do any of the hard things that would get the calendar in order. The really hard decisions. I get it. You'll get blowback. You tell Army, Navy, sorry, you don't get the whole weekend yourself. But you then can't complain about everything else. You can't complain that everything's out of control when you can't set up your schedule because you don't want to make tough decisions. Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
Yep.
Well, then you're going to have a total mess. I mean, you're going to have teams playing on January 20th. I mean, a lot of schools start, whatever, early January. How does this work?
Yeah, I looked it up. As a matter of fact, now I remember Kalen DeBoer saying when we were in New Orleans at the Sugar Bowl, it was like, yeah, our winter quarter starts in a couple of days, and it started January 3rd. So, I don't know how you get, you know, if Noah Fifita and Tatroya McMillan are coming, they're starting 2 weeks late at least on classes up there.
It's a shakeout. We still have Harbaugh as today that we're talking on Monday. He's going to interview with the Los Angeles Chargers. Who knows what that will entail? Conversations with Jim could go one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But he may also have other opportunities out there. I think that with Michigan, you will see Sharon Moore get the job. And so it'll be a little bit of a quieter transition. But what if it isn't, right? What if there isn't a Sharon Moore there? You're getting into later in the year trying to figure this out. So it's chaotic, but a lot of it is chaotic because no one wants to. There's a free market for one and not the other, or there's no hard decisions. I don't know what Harbaugh will do. So Michigan has J.J. McCarthy turn pro, and there has not been a lot of pro leaving. Pretty interesting. We'll get to that. I don't know. We'll get the final number later today, but the early deadline had just 34 underclassmen declaring for the NFL draft, which is down from what could usually in like the 60s. We'll see what the final number is. Some of these players, like McCarthy, was playing in a championship game and stuff like that. They're going to, you know, and Chris Jenkins at Michigan, a couple of those guys. Obviously, you're going to bolster that number up, but it does appear they're going to be down maybe 20% fewer underclassmen. I think conservative, you know, if they get to 50, you know, I don't even know if they'll get to 50. Could be more. 20 to 30% fewer underclassmen declaring for the NFL. I think clearly it's because of NIL. I mean, these guys are making good money. Seeing a tremendous amount of Ohio State players stay. You're not going to NIL, you know, your Marvin Harrison juniors or your first round guys, but as Michigan showed last year, you can get some guys that are looking at third and fourth round grades to say, yeah, I'll do another year. Let's go win a national title. Let's do this. And what Michigan did last year, I think you're seeing Ohio State do this year. And
100%.
I think Michigan is in a position where they're like, we don't have a quarterback. We may not have a coach. Like, they're on their back. They're on their heel. I don't think they care because they had a parade and they won a title. But I do think it's part of what going forward, like the idea that you're just going to win 2-3, be in the mix every single year is really, really hard because it's almost like it's hard to just manage all of the fruits of success and maintain. So I think it's kind of an interesting deal that if any Michigan fan that cares about next year, and if I were them, I would not at this point, I'd just be quite happy with this year, would be looking to go and, ooh, this is maybe not, we may not be stacked up and, oh, the Buckeyes appear to be.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of the new equation is let's see if we can get enough guys to stay to have a championship season. And Michigan absolutely did that last year. They got Corum. They got several of their linemen to stay. And you've got that nucleus, and you got to get them to all buy in. And it looks like Ohio State did the same thing. There's a transition at quarterback there, obviously, with Will Howard coming in. And I believe still Cam Newton is the last first-year quarterback to step in and win a championship at a new program. You know, Burrow was a second-year guy, so on and so forth. But so it's not ready-made at quarterback, but man, oh, man, everything else looks awfully good. You know, Travion Henderson's coming back. Both rush ends, Tuimalo and Jack Sawyer coming back. I believe Denzel Burke coming back. I mean, you've got a ton of proven veteran star quality players. And I think they, you know, I'll be interested to talk to Ohio State players at some point and say, hey, did you watch what Michigan did and say, we can do that. And let's do our own thing like that, because it does seem similar. It feels similar. And there's clearly a program with all the resources to NIL their way into keeping those guys. As you said, like, yes, if you're getting a first round grade, almost assuredly you're out of there. But if not, keep it together, come back, get better. Look at Troy Fautanu, the great offensive lineman at Washington. So he was like a third round grade guy. Roma Dunze was not a first round grade, et cetera. So they came back. NIL helped take care of them, made a run at it. And I think Ohio State is absolutely poised for the same thing.
Yeah. Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss heading there, too. So that running back room is loaded up. Will Howard takes over at quarterback. They only added four transfers so far. Seth McLaughlin, too, the lineman from the center from Alabama. Who struggled in that game against Michigan is coming in, but they're keeping their guys.
Yeah.
And that's huge. Obviously they had a bunch transfer out, but when you consider you're going to bring in a big recruiting class and you keep some of your retaining talent, it's going to be it should be a very big year for Ohio State. There's this will be a pressured year. Not that they aren't all for Ryan Day, because this roster and Michigan having just won the title and having a 3-game win streak and then on paper stepping back and a 12-team playoff, like, I mean, who else, you know, this is it. It's they better do really well. I don't know what's going to constitute success in the 12-team playoff era. Just making playoffs isn't going to do it. Ask Mike McCarthy at Dallas. But there's a world of opportunity for Ohio State. It's obviously been a very bitter, 2 months for Ohio State fan. You know, it's mourning in Columbus, though. Moving forward.
Well, I will tell you what will constitute success next year for Ohio State. Win the championship or else. I mean, absolutely win the Big Ten.
And better then win the Big Ten.
Win the Big Ten, make the Final Four of the playoff, make the championship game, or else people will not be happy. And they have they should have the roster to do that. We'll see how it comes together.
Yeah, it's we'll see what it ends up at. Speaking of incredible flips, or you know, your NIL flip out of Mario Cristobal flipped Cam Ward from the NFL. I mean, Mario Cristobal is one hell of a recruiter. I know they got an NIL deal down there, but this guy, he loaded up that Oregon roster. Now he's loading up. But Cam Ward, the Washington State quarterback, declared for the NFL. And then last weekend said, I never signed with an agent. They still had that arcane rule. Those agents are bad, but Jimmy Sexton's good.
Yeah.
He hadn't signed with an agent so he could return. So he's going to Miami. They flipped a guy out of the draft. I have never heard of that, Pat. Guys test the waters and then come back.
Right.
I have never heard of a guy. Granted, it's a different era with the transfer portal. Enter the NFL draft or the NBA draft and then say, I think I'll just hit it up down there. Let alone a team that was won like 7 games.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Mario Cristobal clearly could sell ice to the Eskimos because his on-field product has been garbage at Miami so far. Garbage. I mean, he has performed poorly. They were 5-7 in 2022, his first year, making like $8.5 million, and then 7-6 this year. So he's a game under 500, but he keeps bringing in guys. And Cam Ward threw for 7,000 yards in 2 years at Washington State. He was a incarnate word transfer. Nobody's like, you know, wait till you see this guy. And they were right. He can play. He can really play. Now, he was not a first-round grade kind of guy in the NFL. You know, maybe the – certainly not in the top 6 or so quarterbacks that are expected to be taken, 5-6. And so, yeah. Let's money whip him to come into Coral Gables and see what happens. It's sooner or later, Mario's probably going to have so much talent that he'll have to win, but we'll see if this is the case here with Cam Ward. But a major flip out of the draft.
Yeah, they're loaded up. They're loaded up. Other big QB news, Jaden, I'm going to say it wrong.
Maiava,
right? UNLV. Mm-hmm. Freshman sensation quarterback at UNLV, who helped UNLV have their big season. He was in the portal. He commits to Georgia, and then a day later flips to USC.
Yeah.
Welcome good news by Lincoln Riley there.
Yeah. I mean, either way, like, so it's interesting with Maiava, who, you know, he was a very good freshman on a, you know, really surprisingly good team. And I feel bad for the UNLVs of the world, but this is kind of the way it goes, you know. I mean, he threw for 3,000 yards as a true freshman on a team that was a big surprise. But either way, Maiava is leaving there to either be a backup or compete for a starting job. He's going to be the backup at Georgia. And now at USC, he's going to compete with Miller Moss, who threw 6 touchdowns in the Holiday Bowl. So you're losing guys now out of the Mountain West who aren't even guaranteed. They're leaving for not even guaranteed starting jobs. That's kind of a tough lot in life.
It is a tough lot in life, but it stinks for UNLV, somebody you could build around. But, you know, he's a kid that proved that the scouts had him wrong, or he worked harder to get better, and he's now earned his opportunity to go play at USC. USC should have recruited him a year ago, not Malachi Nelson.
Yeah.
And to flip it, Malachi Nelson, 5-star recruit, leaves USC, and he's headed to Boise State.
So,
how good is he? What can he do? We don't know, but that's the same league. Could have gone to UNLV, but he went to Boise. And Boise State gets a guy who the scouts once loved, that every major football coach loved. I mean, he had a million offers from everybody. So it does work both ways. I don't know whether Malachi Nelson will be good. I don't know any of these guys will be good at their next spot. It's going to be really interesting long-term seeing, you know, is it were recruits overrated? Was it the wrong spot? Like, just a million different variables to go into this thing. But I like when players have create opportunities for themselves with on-field performance, not what a scout thought of them in a 7-on-7 when they were 15 years old.
Sure. No, I'm with you. And, you know, why can't Jaden Maiava go and see if he can be the starting quarterback at USC? I'm not saying he's wrong to do that.
And he's got 3 years, you know, like, he's not just running in for one and done to go, but that is that'll help bolster USC's quarterback depth, you know. So, and that's obviously needed as they're trying to figure out what they want to do going forward. Miller Moss had the epic game in the Holiday Bowl.
Yep.
he was kind of a program guy, but he looked really good in the Holiday Bowl. So we'll see if he what he gets done there. Any other transfer news that interests you?
No, that was basically it. The two quarterbacks there, and then yeah, where is Will Rogers going to go? I can't imagine he's going to Alabama. They got Jalen Milroe, so he's the next big name now that he's back in the portal. Where does Will Rogers end up?
Right. All right. As we go through all of this, the secret phone calls, the poaching, the deals, the promised deals, the fake deals, all of it in college sports, player and coach and administrator. We had our first NIL era NCAA case. Florida State, Free Shoes University. What a quaint time that was. Crab legs. I mean, think of some of the old Dillards.
Oh, yeah.
Dude's going to Dillard's.
Yep.
Jameis.
Was it I think that was a textbook scam at Florida State, too, at one point.
Yeah. I mean, quaint times. Quaint times. Yes. NCAA has announced significant penalties against Florida State University football program in relation to alleged impermissible recruiting contact. There are no rules, yet somehow they got busted. Congrats, FSU. It's like in the movie Friday. You got fired on your day off. A Florida State assistant football coach violated NCAA rules when he facilitated an impermissible recruiting contact between a transfer prospect and a booster, according to an agreement by the D1 Committee on Infractions. During that contact, the booster encouraged the prospect to enroll at Florida State and offered a name, image, and likeness deal as a recruiting inducement. The assistant coach then violated ethical conduct rules when he provided false or misleading information about his involvement in the meeting. Basically, the guy drove a player, a recruit, a transfer. I don't think the guy even signed with FSU, right?
He did not. No, he was transferring from Georgia.
Basically to their NIL collective, and they had a meeting about how much he could make. And so this is against the rules, but come on. This is a speed trap. What are we doing?
Well,
every single school.
Mm-hmm.
Every school.
Yeah. Yeah, this is how it happens. But and what's the result, though? Every school is also screaming, we've got to enforce the rules. We've got tampering going on. We've got to enforce it. And they did. And then everybody's like, wait, what are you doing enforcing it? Wait. It's classic NCAA situation. Classic. We want rules except when they're applied to our school. Ridiculous.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, again. Is Jimmy Sexton on this list? What did he do? We got anything on him?
Got nothing on him.
Oh, okay. That's all totally fine.
Yeah.
I mean, every school. Let's just vacate the 2023 season. Everyone's out. What? Wait a minute. I mean, how else is this whole thing? Again, someone's got to crack some heads at the NCAA. Not this way. Someone's going to tell them all, this is like, enough with these fake rules. Enough with your wild, wild west, your guardrails, your what else they call them? They have another term, too, they use.
I don't know. On this podcast, we just prefer to stick to guardrails. For purposes of
tough
this podcast.
Tough break, FSU.
Yeah.
$5,000 fine plus 1% of the football budget. What's the football budget? That's probably like 30, 40 million.
It ain't small.
They're going to have a hell of a party at the Slippery Noodle.
The Slippery Noodle will rage when that check drops.
Enforcement staff, NCAA, great job. Come up with these kind of absolutely ridiculous cases. And then you get trashed on the company dime. Allegedly. So I just made that whole thing up. 5% reduction in football scholarships. That's good. We get 5% less kids get a free ride.
They'll go somewhere.
That's a feel good. But it trickles down. It's still like, what is that, two guys?
Maybe.
Four guys? Maybe. What I don't. I mean, what do they do? I don't know. I don't know what to do. I guess I could feel for the NCAA enforcement staff, but honestly, I wouldn't even take this case. What are you doing? Can't be serious. This literally can't be serious. I get it. They probably violated a rule, but I mean, this is what you're doing. This is how you're making your living.
Well, they definitely
pick one school out.
I mean, when the catch basin, all right, like 900, like, all right, you know, like the crab traps on Deadliest Catch or whatever. There's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. You speak my language.
Yeah. You stick the crab trap down and there's 900 crabs down there. You know it, but you only get one crab that comes up. Well, you serve the crab, right? You boil that crab and you serve the crab. I mean, there's been people screaming to, you know, rein in the tampering, rein in the impermissible contacts. And so they tried, and this is what we get. And Florida State rolled over on this one, which, given their propensity to complain about everything, was kind of surprising. Like, they rolled over on a 3-game suspension for their offensive coordinator.
Well, the Republican politician, Florida Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis, he didn't roll over. He's accusing Charlie Baker, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, a fellow Republican, of petty attacks and is calling for an investigation.
Oh, good.
He also took a shot at FSU President, Athletic Director and VP Stan Wilcox,
Former
who serves on the
FSU.
Regulatory Affairs. Yeah. I guess, again, Why won't they look ahead, Pat, and say, okay, this is the reality of what's happening on the street. We need guardrails that are unenforceable or just so arbitrarily enforceable that we're going to catch everyone's doing it. Let's catch one guy. Why can't these people who run college sports just common sense go, this is ridiculous. What are we trying to do here? Why?
Well,
you tell me.
I'll tell you. This is my explanation as far as I can figure for why. Because, as has been the case at every turn in trying to modernize college sports, they've dragged their heels, they've dug in, they fought, and so we came up with a half measure, thread the needle of, yeah, you can pay the players, but through NIL, but the school can't know about it, and the coaches can't be involved, and you know, you create an impossible firewall, basically. And so then everybody just charges straight through the firewall and says, screw that. We're going to go recruit and we're going to have the coaches facilitate this and good luck catching us. And then somebody got caught. Yeah. Took a while, but somebody got caught. And so that's how because they keep coming up with rules that are half measures. They don't want to just completely roll over and say, let the players be paid. Until now, Charlie Baker has come out with this proposal, even that. You know, only half the athletes, not all the athletes. And, you know, it's got to be education. But, you know, there's so many ways that they have grudgingly accepted a compensation model that we still have a very flawed compensation model.
Well, tough break for the assistant coach's career is probably over. Good luck. It's a weird one. All right, let's get to better crime and punishment or law and order.
Please.
People's Court. Sean, you're sitting in for Justice Dellinger while he swishes down the slopes, drunk skiing. A Florida woman is waging a $5 million class action lawsuit, so we can all be involved, at least if you were in on this, against the Hershey's company, you know, the chocolate company.
Yep.
For tricking customers with the promise of seasonally carved peanut butter cups. You're familiar with the Reese's pumpkin?
Oh, yeah.
Around Halloween and the Reese's ghost.
Sure.
And the Reese's tree and stuff, but not so much the tree. It's really the pumpkin and the ghost. So on the packaging, the pumpkin is, you know, the Reese's cup is shaped like a pumpkin, but they have kind of looks like you have two eyes and a mouth carved on the pumpkin. So it's like a jack-o'-lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you open up the package, there is no little carvings of the little eyes and the mouth.
It's an outrage.
She has said it She said that she was tricked. I would not have purchased the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Pumpkins product if she knew that it did not have the detailed carvings of the mouth and or nose pictured on the product label. So 21-page complaint here over this that the pumpkins, she described them as simply a chocolate blob instead of an actual pumpkin and or ghost. The pumpkin white ghost is missing, has white chocolate and is missing the mouth and the eyes that are carved into the ghost thing. Pat, your thoughts? Is this a viable case? Is there a class action suit, $5 million that we can all share in these diabolical times by the Hershey's people?
Did the chocolate blob taste the same with or without the eyes? That's the test question here. I think we'd need an entire panel, a jury, you know, to taste test and see if it was not as good without the eyes and the mouth. If you're the attorney who writes up the 21-page complaint, do you deliver it with a straight face? I mean, is it even possible to not, like, be smirking and, if not outright, just dying laughing, tanding that over, saying, you're not going to believe what I got coming for you here. Get a load of this. I mean, come on. I love a good frivolous lawsuit, but even I can't really defend this lady on this one.
She showed some old packaging that did not have the little the eyes carved into the jack-o'-lantern. It was just a pumpkin. This story is tragic. Very funny. Lawandcrime.com. The case is assigned to Judge U.S. District Judge Charlene Edwards Honeywell, a Barack Obama appointee. Mm-hmm. I love that. Throw that in there. I don't even know what that means.
It means nothing.
Is a Democrat more likely to side on the side of pumpkin carvings on your chocolate or not? I don't know. That does not provide me any information. Well, if it's an Obama appointee.
Yeah,
then absolutely.
We got a chance.
Favorable judge, or you got a not favorable. It feels like a nonpartisan case.
It does.
Maybe everything's partisan these days. Sean, your thoughts?
It's a big moment for every kid and maybe sometimes adult in this country to buy a snack with a face on it and realize that it looks nothing like the packaging. Ice cream trucks have been getting away with this forever. The SpongeBob popsicles, the Dora the Explorer popsicles, they look nothing like the characters. They look like, you know, a disaster society rendition of the characters. And, you know, it scares the kids and it's a big moment. So I don't have a problem with the food companies building a little character and toughness out of the public. I'm not giving them the perfect face on the chocolate bar.
Rub some dirt on it, right? Yeah,
that's
it. I think I'm siding with Big Candy.
There we go. That's it. You know what? Yes, life's gonna be full of disappointments, kid. Your pumpkin's not gonna have eyes. You may not get that dream job. Sorry,
Dream girl's
not gonna marry you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's an excellent point, Sean. It really,
yeah,
that's some excellent law review stuff right there. I mean, looking at this label, so not only is there the little jack-o'-lantern eye and mouth, but there's also a bite taken out of the pumpkin. Like, it's so delicious that someone took a bite out of it. Like,
that sounds a little disturbing.
When I open up, I don't want a bite out of the damn thing and, like, teeth marks.
Yeah, no. You don't.
I don't want, like, the guy at the factory taking a bite out before putting it in. So clearly this picture is not representative, and I would have not only would I have no expectation that this would look that way. If I did have an expectation that it would look like it does on the package, I would not buy it because someone already took a nibble. I want the whole pumpkin. Additionally, you're losing chocolate by having the little carve-outs.
You are. True.
So Reese's is actually giving you more chocolate. It's not a lot more, but it's a little.
It's like a micro dot, but yeah.
I think we have a rare unanimous decision. I expect the Obama appointees, the Bush appointees, the Trump appointees, the Biden, whoever the hell appointed you, I think you should all be on the side of Reese's.
Yep.
The Big Reese's people wins. Put out a quality product. Let's they not do. Mess with them. There's exactly. a few things in America you can truly rely on, and it's the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Company is one of them, and I don't think we should be messing with them.
Couldn't agree more.
Tell this
there
lady.
There are plenty of other problems in the United States. Reese's is not one of them.
Cynthia Kelly, go whatever. Get a Twix bar or something.
Go eat some broccoli.
That's our show. We'll be back later this week. We'll see if Harbaugh's around. We'll see who other coaches have switched jobs.
Check in on Harbaugh and Dellinger. See if they're both around.
Harbaugh, Dellinger could be back. We'll see if he's on. He might be in the transfer portal. Where is he? He's going to join some Utah Park City podcast and leave us. We don't know. We need guardrails. He's agents. Side deals. No, we'll be back. We'll have more on who did and didn't go pro. And hopefully a clearer picture truly of where we're at with some of these rosters. They're coming into focus. You know, nearly 2 months after the regular season ended. We're starting to get there. But we will get to all of that later this week. Appreciate everyone listening. Welcome to the off season. Please stick with us. We need you. And continue to share us on social media and tell your friends about us. We will talk to you later.